Hello, everybody. Welcome to Down with Lucha Libre, the only podcast out there where we sympathize with DJ Paul for him saying "fuck God" for giving me a baby arm. I am your host, Todd Sigliano, sitting here with
Justin Matthews.
And today's episode is all about the Survivor Series,
the Thanksgiving Eve tradition.
And with that in mind, we're gonna do a Today We Learned, not about Survivor Series necessarily, just about wrestling in general. This is something I did not know, but maybe you do know this, but today we learned the Big Show quit football after his freshman year because of disputes with his coach. His sophomore year, he had joined the cheerleading squad, partly out of spite.
What an asshole.
And, I mean, would you, like, what do you think of that? Somebody Big Show size. What if Big Show made it to the NFL and never became a professional wrestler?
He probably would have got hurt in the NFL for being so damn big, really.
Probably. Today we're going to talk about Survivor Series, Thanksgiving Shirts, and Survivor Series, of course, was this past Sunday, but that's not going to stop us from talking about Survivor Series. But before we get into all that, we are going to discuss one thing and one thing real quick, and that is the Memphis Grizzlies. Last week I said we were going to defeat the Celtics, the Clippers, and the Raptors. Well, we didn't beat the Raptors.
No, we didn't.
And that's because five of our players had a really bad stomach flu.
Including two starters.
Yeah, and, you know, people in Toronto were saying they're sick and tired of the Grizzlies saying, like, Grizzlies fans saying that we should have beaten them, we could have beaten them if our players were healthy. They're like, no, because we weren't all healthy. James Johnson is out. He's our best rebounder. Look, I love James Johnson. James Johnson played great with the Grizzlies, but against Zebo for rebounds and against Marc Gasol for rebounds, James would have had four.
It's bad.
And the fact that the best team in the East barely beat the best team in the West when they were down five core players shows you just how great the Eastern Conference really is.
Because I'm pretty sure the Raptors come to Memphis sometime during the season, and I bet we're going to whoop their ass.
Yeah. All right, and I will actually be right back real quick. I forgot something in the other room, so you talk about something for
all right.
2 seconds.
Let's talk about something.
Talk about porn.
Well, porn is,
China's in porn.
China's in porn. And, Sean Waltman did porn. Mickey James did porn.
She didn't do porn. She did a porno spread.
That's porn. A porno spread and a porno, that's about the same thing. It's not like she was doing, like, Playboy or anything. She was doing some pornographic-ass shit.
Yeah, but so did Beulah.
Yeah, well, that's okay, because that's Beulah.
All right,
she gets a bath.
I'm back. I want to bring up something that's related to wrestling real quick. This past Sunday at Survivor Series, as everyone out there probably knows, the biggest thing in the history of professional wrestling happened.
And Nikki Bella won the Women's Championship.
Nope.
Oh.
The Big Show turned heel again. And I found something on Reddit that somebody made. Credit goes to Twitter, they posted, but since he joined the WWE, the times Big Show has turned. He came in 1999 as a heel, turned face to join the Union, turned heel again in 1999 to join the Undertaker, turned face again in 1999 to feud with the Big Boss Man, turned heel the Royal Rumble 2000, turned face after WrestleMania, and began mimicking other wrestlers. Turned heel again by attacking The Undertaker, siding with Shane O'Mac. Turned face during the invasion. Turned heel after WrestleMania 18 by joining the NWO. Turned face after returning in mid-2004 to feud with Kurt Angle. Turned heel while teaming with Kane, feuding with SmackDown guys Mysterio / Batista. Turned face during feud with Triple H after New Year's Revolution 2006. Turned heel when he became ECW champion. Left WWE for about a year. Returned in February 2008 as a face, but then turned heel that same night by attacking Rey Mysterio. Turned face after WrestleMania 24 to feud with the Great Khali. Turned heel by siding with Vicky Guerrero in her feud with The Undertaker. Turned face by knocking out The Miz after Show Miz lost the tag titles. Turned heel after Over the Limit 2012 by knocking out John Cena. Turned face in early 2013 by attacking The Shield. Turned heel by knocking out Sheamus and Randy Orton after losing to The Shield at WrestleMania 29. Returned as a face in August to help fight The Shield. Turned semi-heel briefly, knocking out faces at the orders of the Authority. turned back face by rebelling against the authority, turned heel at Survivor Series by knocking out John Cena. What do you have to say about that?
What the hell is wrong with him, man? What is wrong with them?
I don't know. Vince McMahon went on the record when he signed the Big Show of saying, and I quote, I'll be able to book you as a giant. WCW, they don't know how to book giants. I can. Turning your giant face and heel like 1,000 times in a span of 15 years is not how you book a giant.
At least he was cool during when he was feuding with the Big Boss Man.
I don't even know what to say with that one, though.
Well, actually, the Big Boss Man was cool, not really a Big Show.
Someone brought up this on Reddit the other day. I hate to bring this because it's a touchy topic and we're not going to discuss the actual topic at hand. But somebody brought up how great it would be right now for if Big Boss Man was alive and he cut a promo in St. Louis the other night as the Hill cop talking about the Ferguson shootings.
Oh, man, that could have been fucking funny.
That would have been like the greatest way to generate Hill heat ever. But, well, thanks. Survivor Series is a Thanksgiving tradition, and up until 1995, it was held on a Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving.
Hmm. I thought it went longer than that, actually.
95. I thought impressive. It went longer also.
Was it a pay-per-view back then?
I think so, yeah.
That's cool. I'd love to have a wrestling pay-per-view on a Wednesday night before Thanksgiving.
Well, they tried to do the weekday pay-per-views again with, like, Taboo Tuesday, and that lasted 2 years, I think.
Oh, yeah, Taboo Tuesday. That don't count.
That was stupid.
That was a dumb pay-per-view. I'm pretty sure it was rigged.
Could you imagine if they tried to do, like, WrestleMania on, like, a Thursday afternoon? Alright, but, Survivor Series this past Sunday, Damian Mizdow won the tag team titles. Him and The Miz, his stunt double The Miz, they won the titles.
Very happy to hear that.
And Nikki Bella won the Divas Championship.
In about 30 seconds.
Alicia Fox, Emma, Natalya, and Naomi won the 4-on-4 elimination match against other Divas.
Yes, I really thought when it got down to just Paige, I really thought she was going to come back and beat them all.
Yeah.
I was going to be really mad if that happened.
The, what was another match on the card? Had the Usos. Talked about that. The Damian Mizdow and The Miz, they defeated Goldust and Stardust. I refuse to call them Gold and Stardust. That's stupid. They beat Goldust and Stardust, the Usos, and Los Matadores.
Yes. Los Matadores was the fan favorite in attendance.
Oh, yeah. And
they couldn't pull it through. What was that, man?
Well, I'm trying to. It was Bray Wyatt and Ambrose. But did it end in a DQ or did Bray Wyatt win?
I don't know. I just remember Ambrose getting mad and pretending he was Cactus Jack.
Yeah, that was a good match though. They're gonna have a great TLC match next
month. Yes, they are.
But the biggest victory of the night was Dolph Ziggler defeated Team Authority pretty much single-handedly. he defeated three of the biggest stars in WWE at this time. He was the survivor on Team Authority after the shocking debut of WCW icon Sting. Came out and did a Scorpion Death Drop to the Triple H after Triple H said, "What the fuck are you doing here?"
Because you called him and told him to be there.
Yeah. Sting came out to a huge pop, didn't come out to right theme music. I'm pretty sure everyone knew who it was when they showed his face in his entrance video 1,000 times before they showed just a still shot of it.
If that would have been in, like, Madison Square Garden, would a Sting got booed?
I think if it would have been in Chicago, it would have got the biggest pop of the year. Because Chicago crowds are the best fucking crowds. Chicago and, like, Philly and Madison Square Garden, really.
Yeah.
But let's talk about attendance. They didn't announce the attendance this past Sunday. A lot of people speculate that's because it
sucked.
Yeah, a lot of people speculate because that's because it didn't sell out. So do you know what the biggest attendance was in Survivor Series history?
In Survivor Series history? Yes. I'm going to go with... it's probably not that big, actually. I'm going to go with 32,000. It's probably not even that big.
No. Biggest was 1998 with 21,779.
Yeah, I knew it wasn't that much.
What about the lowest?
The lowest? probably like 8,000.
Close. 2004, the attendance was 7,500.
Oh, man, it toothed that win?
2004.
Oh, that is terrible. I thought it was going to be like in the mid-90s at some time.
Yeah, you would think so, but, I mean, 2004 was kind of like, it wasn't a great year for wrestling.
That was a that ruthless aggression era.
That was when...
Was that time?
Yeah, the ruthless aggression era was in 2002, and it lasted about that long, and 2004 was when the titles went from Triple H to Chris Benoit to Randy Orton to Triple H, and the WWE title went from Brock Lesnar to Eddie Guerrero to JBL. And the main event of that pay-per-view, the lowest attended one of all time. Let's look at it. Let's see where you at. Was Team Orton versus Team Triple H. And on Team Orton was Randy Orton, Chris Benoit, Chris Jericho, and Maven.
Yeah,
Team
Maven.
Team Triple H was Triple H, Edge, Batista, and Snitsky.
What the hell was Maven doing there?
No idea. But that, I mean, that show featured great matches such as that, such as La Resistance versus the Hurricane and Rosie, Spike Dudley versus Billy Kidman, Chavo Guerrero, and Rey Mysterio for the Cruiserweight Championship. Shelton Benjamin versus Christian, which I'm sure was a great match. Team Guerrero versus Team Angle was Eddie Guerrero, Big Show, Rob Van Dam, and John Cena versus Kurt Angle, Carlito, Luther Reigns, and Mark Jindrak.
Now, it's funny. That team was called Team Guerrero, and John Cena was on it.
Yep. And,
old boys come a long way.
Trish Stratus versus Lita. JBL versus Booker T for the WWE Championship. And what was the second longest match on the show? The Undertaker versus Heidenreich.
Heidenreich. I did not like that guy.
I don't think anybody did. And this is the pay-per-view when John Cena came back after he was stabbed by Jesus in the nightclub. And he just... Carlito wasn't even eliminated. He got counted out because he ran away from John Cena at the beginning of the match. Do you remember that angle when John Cena got stabbed? He supposedly got stabbed, and there was a bunch of rumors online. And he's even confirmed these rumors that the person that was going to be behind the stabbing was supposed to be New Jack.
Yeah, I think I remember hearing about that.
I remember hearing about New Jack. He worked a couple tryout matches like before people came in WWE. And they liked what they saw, but they just passed on him. Like, could you imagine New Jack and WWE? Like, him coming in and saying, he stabbed John Cena.
It wouldn't have been as good as we could imagine, but no, damn, would have been good.
It wouldn't have been as good because at that pay-per-view, John Cena got stabbed in, like, his kidneys, I believe, or something. He got stabbed in the side, and he came back, and he didn't have a scar. He didn't have any bandages on. Nothing. But, do you know what the overall attendance over the past 27 years, because we're not counting the last one, because the attendance was not counted, of Survivor Series is?
I don't know. What is it?
403,165, which makes the average 14,932.
Yeah, which really is, that's not that good.
Nah. Because, I mean, that wouldn't even sell out the forum.
Survivor Series is supposed to be like one of their four main big pay-per-views.
1998 was the only one not to have a traditional tag match, and that was the highest attended one.
Yes, and that is damn near one of my favorite ones.
Really?
Yes.
I don't like that one that much.
I like that one.
Is it because of the whole tournament?
Yeah, man, I'm a mark for tournaments.
It
was a big-ass tournament.
I am too, but like, I don't know, like, I want to see the tag match. Like, they could have done that tournament like... At Rock Bottom, which was the next pay-per-view, but they probably wouldn't have called it Rock Bottom at that point.
I doubt they would have been called Rock Bottom. I was looking up stuff about that pay-per-view just last night, and there was, you know how many matches were on that pay-per-view in 1998? 18 matches! pay-per-views are not a full 3 hours, especially back then. They were like 2 hours and 45 minutes. Yeah. So those matches had to be like 4 minutes long.
And
those first round matches had been fast as hell.
1999 Survivor Series featured probably the most random teams and matches, in my opinion. Do you know what the teams and matches were?
No.
There were five elimination matches. The first one was D'Lo Brown and the Godfather teaming up with the Headbangers versus the Dudley Boys and the Acolytes.
That's a classic.
The second one, this is fucking random, was the British Bulldog and the Mean Street Posse versus Val Venus, Mark Henry, Steve Blackman, and Gangrel. Why? I don't know. The third was the Divas elimination match with Mae Young, Moolah, Deborah, and Tori versus Ivory, Luna, Jacqueline, and Terry Runnels.
Man, that must have been a terrible match.
The fourth one. Now, I don't even consider this to be, but it was contested under traditional Survivor Series elimination rules. It was the Big Show versus the Big Boss Man, Prince Albert, Midian, and Viscera. A 4-on-1 elimination match where Big Show won.
That's how the Big Show win.
I assume they only did that because they were trying to make him look good because, you know, he won the title later that night as a triple threat match. But the last one was Too Cool and the Hollies versus Edge and Christian and the Hardys.
Man, none of those Survivor Series matches were good. Normally, I at least have one good one. Those were all terrible.
And, the Val Venus, Mark Henry, Gangrel, and Steve Blackman, where the fuck did they even get that team?
At least they got a pay-per-view bonus, I guess.
Yeah. But do you have any notes about Survivor Series you want to discuss before we get into our favorite Survivor Series?
No. I'll just talk about my favorite Survivor Series.
All right, well, shoot. Go for it.
All right. Actually, here. I guess one of my favorite Survivor Series moments we just talked about it was the 1998 Survivor Series. 18 matches, and the tournament was a 14-man tournament, and that is stupid.
Yeah.
Because Kane and Undertaker got buys. They should have just had a 16-man tournament.
I still don't understand how they got buys.
I don't either. And another one of my favorite Survivor Series moments was the Undertaker debuting. It's got to be everybody's favorite moments. Undertaker got counted out. And why did he get counted out, you ask? Do you know why?
No.
Because he was chasing Dusty Rhodes out of the ring. And why did we get an Undertaker versus Dusty Rhodes feud?
Yeah, that sounds weird.
I know. Because he came in with $1 million. Well, I guess they weren't really the $1 million whatever back then.
Yeah.
But, for some reason, he chased Dusty Rhodes out of the building.
Makes
not really
sense.
Sure why. Seems why like that could have been a good pay-per-view or a good feud.
Yeah.
And only a year later, The Undertaker beat Hulk Hogan to win the World Wrestling Federation Championship.
And then he lost it 3 days later.
At Tuesday in Texas. I love me some. Was Tuesday in Texas a house show?
The pay-per-view.
How the hell was that a pay-per-view if Survivor Series happened 3 days before that?
I don't know.
There's no way that was a pay-per-view.
It's in the pay-per-view section on the WWE Network.
Hey, I don't believe there were pay-per-views in 1991.
Apparently there were.
Yeah. Undertaker was really cool back then.
What would you say your favorite Survivor Series of all time is?
My favorite Survivor Series of all time is a... where is it at? What year was it? Oh, yes. Was also... I believe it was the 1990 Survivor Series where they did. I don't think it was that because that's when Undertaker debuted.
Yeah.
So I guess it might have been 89 or 88 or one of those. But it was when they all the winners of the Survivor Series would go on to the main event. It was the faces versus the heels, and it ended up being Hulk Hogan, the Ultimate Warrior, and the Big Boss Man against Ted DiBiase and eight people. But I don't know. I think that was one of my favorite ones, only because I used to love that pay-per-view and watch it all the time when I was little.
Yeah, it was 1990.
How was that going on at the same time?
It was Hulk Hogan, Ultimate Warrior, and Tito Santana versus Ted DiBiase, Rick Martel, The Warlord, Hercules, and Paul Roma. He was a part of the Four Horsemen is who he was.
Oh. But yeah, I think that was about my favorite actual Survivor Series in a whole, just because they did that cool little thing right there. Which they've never done that since then.
Yeah.
They probably won't ever do that ever again.
That's probably true.
Probably. Let's see if I got any other. Also, another one of my favorite Survivor Series moments was in 2002, the very first Elimination Chamber, when HBK came back and won the World Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah, that was a great one.
Yes, it was. I was very happy to see Shawn Michaels win the world title again. Little did we know he would probably never get it back after that.
Yeah, never, ever, ever.
And that was very sad. And, let's see. Oh, yeah. In 1994, also another great match. It was, it probably actually wasn't a great match, but I have very fond memories of it. It's The Undertaker once again and Yokozuna in a big old casket match. And Chuck Norris was the special guest enforcer.
Was it Survivor Series 96 when Undertaker returned as Batman?
I don't know. Was that when he faced The Undertaker?
No, that was SummerSlam.
Yeah, SummerSlam when Undertaker wrestled Undertaker.
Yeah.
And
that was like SummerSlam 94.
Another really good match that I don't have wrote down, but I thought of a little while ago was, I don't know if it was like 2002 or 2003, but one of those, it was at Survivor Series when Shane O'Mac wrestled Kane.
Yeah, 2003.
In the ambulance match. Wasn't it an ambulance match?
Yeah.
That was a really damn good match.
Yeah.
Shane was a really good wrestler.
And I don't even know if he was a good wrestler. He just took awesome bumps.
That might have been it, actually.
Probably.
Yeah, what are some of your favorite Survivor Series memories?
Well, it's hard to honestly pick some, because Survivor Series has always been one of my favorite pay-per-views.
Mine too.
I love the 1993 Survivor Series, when it was the All-Americans versus the Foreign Fanatics, and the All-Americans was Lex Luger and the Steiner Brothers, and they needed a fourth person. And Undertaker came out and like just opened his jacket, and he had an American flag in his jacket.
That's stupid.
And I was like, "Oh, the Undertaker's American!" Like, I love that whole thing. And then you had obviously Survivor Series 1997.
Yes, I was gonna. That is on my list, but I figured you'd probably get into that also.
Survivor Series 97, the infamous Montreal Screwjob. Which, if you can look past the Screwjob, that was a good match.
Hell yeah, it was.
It was a really good match. Yeah, and that was a good card. Except for, like, if you want to talk about random elimination matches, you got the Truth Commission, and, which was the Jackal, the Interrogator, Sniper, and Reckon, versus the DOA, Crush Chains, 8-Ball, and Skull.
I have no idea who none of them four people, the first four you named, are.
The Jackal is...
I think I remember the Jackal.
That is Cyrus the Virus.
Oh, never mind. I didn't know who that was. I thought that was that somebody else.
Yeah, the New Age Outlaws and the Godwins versus the Headbangers and the new Blackjacks.
Look at the Headbangers getting all the Survivor Series matches.
You had Team USA versus Team Canada. Team Canada won, obviously.
Yes, that was a good match.
Team Canada featured the British Bulldog.
The Hart Foundation versus DX and the Hart Foundation versus Stone Cold during that time was freaking awesome, man. That was the best time for the American versus Canada ripoff feud.
Yeah.
That happens every couple of years in every company ever made, ever.
And this match featured Tim, which I believe this is true. It featured Kane's first singles match as Kane, where he wrestled and defeated Mankind.
Oh, that's probably a good match.
It was a good match.
It's back when Paul Bearer was wearing red jackets.
And one of my favorite Survivor Series elimination matches happened there, the Road Warriors and Ahmed Johnson and Ken Shamrock versus the Nation Domination. And a 4-minute match with Stone Cold versus Owen Hart for the Intercontinental Championship, which Stone Cold should not have wrestled on because that was 3 months after he broke his fucking neck.
I wonder why Stone Cold can't wrestle no more.
Yeah, me too. And then you have, Survivor Series 2000, you had Stone Cold versus Triple H, another qualification match. That match ended with Stone Cold flipping Triple H over off of crane while he was inside of a car, and it didn't kill him somehow. Survivor Series 2001, where WWF defeated Team WCW, basically, and it happened in North Carolina, where I don't think they should have done that.
No. don't think, no, that's Flair country, baby.
And Team WWF was The Rock, Chris Jericho, The Undertaker, Kane, and The Big Show. Team Alliance was Stone Cold, Kurt Angle, RVD, Booker T, and Shane McMahon, a.k.a. WWF guys with Kurt Angle, or I mean with Booker T and RVD added. And if you think about that match, you think about the first Alliance versus Team WWF match to happen in Invasion. And while that match wasn't all that great, it featured actual more so like ECW WCW team against the WWF. Because let me pull up that show, because that match, the pay per view, the main event was, let's get down to it, the nitty gritty here. It was the Alliance versus Team WWF. Was what I said. Team WWF was Stone Cold, Kurt Angle, Chris Jericho, The Undertaker, and Kane. And Team Alliance was Booker T, DDP, Rhino, and the Dudley Boys.
It's a little bit better.
Yeah, that
one's a lot better, actually.
Yeah, that one is straight up all ECW, WCW. I mean, even though at that point, Rhino and the Dudleys were in WWF, like, they were ECW more so than Kurt Angle was WCW or ECW.
Yeah.
And my favorite, absolute favorite Survivor Series of all time was 2002. Which is what you mentioned with Shawn Michaels.
Yes.
And I will just talk about a few of my favorite things from that pay-per-view. One being the only traditional elimination tag match on that show, which was... Actually, there were two. There was one where it was Spike Dudley and Bubba Ray Dudley, and Jeff Hardy versus 3-Minute Warning with Rico. And that was the match that had the surprise reunion of the Dudley Boys, and D-Von came out and helped Bubba win. He was the surviving member of that team.
Reverend
and it was
D-Von
an elimination tables match. Do what?
Reverend D-Von making the save.
And it was an elimination tables match, which was awesome. And you had Eddie Guerrero, Chavo Guerrero, Los Guerreros versus Chris Benoit, and Kurt Angle versus Edge and Rey Mysterio in a three-way elimination match for the WWE Tag Team titles. Eddie Guerrero and Chavo won that match, and they became the Tag Team Champions for the first time, and they lived a childhood dream because they always dreamt about being the Tag Team Champions together. You had Billy Kidman versus Jamie Noble in a great match for the Cruiserweight title. My favorite Divas match of all time, Victoria versus Trish in a hardcore match for the for the Women's Championship. A terrible match in Big Show versus Brock Lesnar.
Oh, what a surprise. It was a bad match.
Yeah. that match went... That was for the world title, and it went 4 minutes. That's where Paul Heyman turned on Brock.
How dare you, Paul.
And you had the main event of the evening, the Elimination Chamber. The first time this match ever happened... Well, before I get into this, let's talk about the fact that that pay-per-view also saw the return or debut, however you want to look at it, of Big Papa Pump Scott Steiner.
Yeah.
He came out and beat the shit out of Chris Nowinski and Matt Hardy, and he gave you a glimpse of what he used to be and what he could have been by doing nothing but suplexes to him, T-bone suplexes, like release German suplexes, all these belly-to-bellies, everything he used to do when he was a tag team wrestler with Rick. He was doing against those guys, and you thought, oh, this is going to be great. He's going to do that shit just all the time now. Nope. He came in, got squashed by Triple H, made it look like shit, and then got fired.
Oh, what up? Yeah, they did that on purpose.
But if you want to hear a pop, just rewatch that. Go on YouTube or go on the WWE Network. Go to 2002 Survivor Series, and it's right before, I believe it's right before, or maybe right after the Triple Threat Tag Team match for the championship. But you won't be able to find that just by clicking over on the network, because it features Chris Benoit, and they don't let you do that. So you have to fast forward. But the main event was the Elimination Chamber, the first one ever, which in my opinion was their answer to War Games.
Yes, and it still makes me mad because the Elimination Chamber is cool. We might we're actually getting one here in Memphis in a couple of months.
Oh, you didn't hear. They moved the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view to June, so the pay-per-view we're getting here is just a random pay-per-view.
For
before.
Real?
Yeah.
It's
called, like, WWE Fast Lane.
Oh, I'm definitely not going to that then.
Yeah.
Oh, well, why'd you have to tell me that?
I don't want you to sound like a dumbass on the podcast.
Oh, man.
But yeah, they moved it because they want to use the Elimination Chamber as a way to build up towards SummerSlam.
Who can we protest and call and cuss out right now?
I think...
Did we cuss out Jerry Lawler?
I think so.
I'll go to Nam King right now and find him. Cuss his ass out.
But the Elimination Chamber, I mean...
Well, fuck me. I don't even want to do the podcast no more.
You were talking about it. I mean, put the match over. It's a great match.
But I was going to say, the Elimination Chamber is really good, and I like it, and I thought we were going to get one, and I was really excited about that. But War Games is still, I think, a lot better, and I would still rather them do a War Games, even if they did it at Survivor Series.
Yeah.
I really thought, I forgot which, one of the last couple of years, I really thought they might do it at that Survivor Series. They're building up for somebody.
It may have been the...
I forgot who was feuding.
It may have been the Nexus thing.
Yeah, I think it was the Nexus thing. I really thought that was going to be the year. We're not going to get a War Games until Vince dies.
Yep. But in the SmackDown video games, in the WWE games, you can do a 6-man elimination tag team match in the Elimination Chamber. So, you know, that's kind of cool. But this one was the very first Elimination Chamber match for the World Heavyweight Championship. It featured Triple H, who was the champion, Rob Van Dam, Booker T, Chris Jericho, Kane, and HBK Shawn Michaels. The match went damn near 40 minutes. It was a great match. Rob Van Dam broke Triple H's throat in that match. Booker T got eliminated first, obviously, because he's a black guy. Chris Jericho had saliva playing his theme music live when they were down the street. They just piped it in. It was a great fucking match. I love that match. I love that entire pay-per-view. That's the greatest Survivor Series pay-per-view in my opinion. There's not a single bad match on that card except for maybe Big Show and Brock. But even though it's a bad match, you got to see Brock F5 the Big Show.
Yeah.
And while that is an incredible feat of strength, I do still believe Mr. Perfect doing the Perfect Plex the Big Show is a lot bigger deal, and Goldberg doing the Jackhammer, because Goldberg had to hold his big ass up there. Like, the F5 was cool, but Goldberg did a fucking vertical suplex.
But, and he was later brought in and jobbed to Triple H.
Yeah. Shawn Michaels won the World Heavyweight Championship, and then the next night on Raw, a lot of people will forget about this, wrestled a dream match. His first title defense was against Rob Van Dam.
Yes.
And that match was a great match. If only for the psychology of it. The one thing I remember that match is RVD targeting Shawn Michaels' back. He did a 5-star frog splash when Shawn Michaels was on his stomach, so he went all the impact to his back, and it was a great fucking match.
Oh,
God damn it, do I miss when wrestling was enjoyable like that. I mean, it's still enjoyable. It's been picking up lately.
Why can't Shawn Michaels come back and be the commish?
I don't know.
He needs to do something.
Speaking of commissioners, the Raw, the anonymous
GM. And I hate
GM,
that. I do not want that to happen.
I don't
again.
Think they remember. They like realized that they actually already finished that storyline a couple years ago, and they realized that it was Hornswoggle.
Yeah. Why is Hornswoggle the GM again?
I don't know
either, man.
But this podcast is going to go up tomorrow, Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving.
Yeah. So this can. It's the new Thanksgiving Eve tradition.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Survivor Series every year for Thanksgiving. Probably not, but... I mean, what are you doing this Thanksgiving?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Oh. I'm going to try to watch Survivor Series pay-per-view. There's just some stuff from Survivor Series, probably, because, god damn it. It's my favorite pay-per-view, other than Royal Rumble. When they do it right, at least like the Rumble, it's always good because it's a battle royal, and I'm a mark for battle royals.
Yeah.
But the thing that I like about the Rumble is like 9 times out of 10, the title matches are just throwaway matches. Like in 2004, it was Brock Lesnar versus Hardcore Holly.
I remember that. I remember thinking that was the most terrible idea in the world.
In 2006, they had Test versus Bobby Lashley for the ECW title.
I hate Bobby Lashley.
I do too.
If you ever want to see the effects of steroids, listen to Bobby Lashley talk.
Oh, let's talk about TNA real quick.
Destination America.
They're going to Destination America, which is a channel I don't get, so I won't be watching.
I don't get that channel either, but I used to get that channel, and I used to love that channel, because there was only one show that would play 20 hours a day, all day, every day.
What?
And it was always those damn, it was like a haunting, And it was always the little hour-long, like, little ghost stories.
Yeah.
And I used to watch it all day, every day, just because they were that's all they played. So now, apparently, they're going to play nothing but ghost shows and TNA.
And announced today, New Japan Pro Wrestling have signed their first American television contract.
Yes, I heard about this.
AXS TV.
I don't know who that is, but good for them.
Formerly known as HDNet.
Oh, it's HDNet?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Who famously got into the professional wrestling business a few years ago when they signed Ring of Honor to their first TV deal. And I hope, I mean, New Japan's not going to pull in monster ratings, but I hope they do great.
Sure, they do just as good as TNA.
Yeah. And, I mean, I'm not going to be able to... TNA, hate to break it to you, but you will be torrented from now on.
Yeah.
Because I don't get your fucking channel.
I think a lot of people do not get that channel. Because I know that channel's on Comcast.
And TNA will not be airing Thursday, but they will be coming back the next week to close out 2014, airing the best of TNA in 2014.
How are they... How's anybody going to know that they switch channels that don't... get online and read this.
I don't know, but...
There's got to be some casual TNA fans out there that's going to have no idea what's going to happen.
Not a lot of great moments happened in TNA in 2014. They need 3 weeks to recap it.
What the hell happened in TNA in 2014 that was so damn cool?
AJ Styles left.
Good for him.
Sting left.
Good for him. Oh, Kenny King!
Kenny King came back.
That's a good. That's the best thing that happened.
TNA actually pulled the trigger on a Bobby Lashley push. Something WWE never did.
Hey, man, Bobby Lashley represented... what's that damn guy's name?
I don't know.
Him and he wrestled Umaga.
Donald match. Trump.
Yeah, Donald Trump. That's who he represented.
That was a terrible match. You know what was worse than that match, though, was the next year at WrestleMania 24. It featured... this is a match that no one ever remembers. It was for brand supremacy. SmackDown versus Raw. Representing SmackDown was led by General Manager Teddy Long as Batista. Representing Raw, led by Eric Bischoff, was Umaga. Batista won, SmackDown won, and they never talked about that ever again.
Because
that was the Stone Cold versus Scott Hall of WrestleMania 24, or... WrestleMania 24, they're like, well, we have this former champion. I don't know what to do with him. Let's get him, just give him a match.
I hated Teddy Long. I was complete anti-Teddy Long.
Yeah.
You know what else I'm anti?
What?
I'm anti-turkey. I do not like turkey.
I don't either, but that's because I'm a vegetarian. Yes.
Were you anti-turkey before that?
No, I fucking love turkey.
Oh, man, I don't like turkey. I'd rather cook a chicken than turkey.
Well, Christmas, you know, the traditional Christmas thing is, like, usually, like, ham and shit like that.
I really don't like ham.
Sarah and I, we cook pizzas.
Yeah, I know on Easter, for, like, 4 years in a row, me and Brett, and then insert random person that was with us for, like, 4 years, we used to, like, cook out on Easter every year.
Yeah, if,
I'm not pro holiday food, I do not think. I do not like holiday food.
If you were to recommend a Survivor Series for people to watch on Thanksgiving, what would you tell them to watch?
On Thanksgiving? The one that I do not know what year it was. Just Google the goggly gooker.
I believe that was 1990.
91, 92?
It was 90, because it was the same pay-per-view the Undertaker debuted.
Oh, yes, then definitely watch that pay-per-view.
Where, a little trivia for people that may not know this, 1990 was also, it was the debut of the Undertaker, it was the debut of the Gobbly Gooker, and what people may not know is that the Gobbly Gooker was originally supposed to be the Undertaker.
What, the Undertaker was supposed to hatch out of an egg?
Yes.
What a stupid
idea. But
it
wasn't. I can't remember if it was supposed to be the Undertaker as the Undertaker, or if they wanted the Mark Calloway to play the Gobbly Gooker.
Oh, I see. You know what the Undertaker was originally going to be called before they dropped it?
Kane the Undertaker.
Yes. That sounds good. Somebody needs to wrestle as Kane the Undertaker. Yeah. And just spell it all different.
But, I mean... So you want them to watch 1990 Royal Rumble?
Yeah, man. Debut of The Undertaker, and you get to see a stupid chicken flip around and hang out with Mean Gene Okerlund.
Do you know what the dark match was for that pay-per-view?
No, but I'm guessing it was something good.
Buddy Rose versus Shane Douglas.
How was Shane Douglas wrestling in 1990 at a Survivor Series?
I have no idea.
Where was that pay-per-view at?
It was in...
It had to be in Philadelphia.
Hartford, Connecticut.
Oh.
This is the time when the pay-per-views were every match was elimination match. This had the Warriors, Ultimate Warrior, the Legion of Doom, and the Texas Tornado versus the Perfect Team. Mr. Perfect, Demolition.
Man, I love Demolition.
It was Mr. Perfect and Demolition, sorry, with Axe Smash, and Crush. And then you had the Million Dollar Team, which was Ted DiBiase, The Undertaker, and Rhythm and Blues, versus the Dream Team, Dusty Rhodes, Coco Beware, and the Hart Foundation.
Yes.
And the Visionaries, Rick Martel, The Warlord, and Power and Glory, versus the Vipers, Jake Roberts, Jimmy Snuka, and the Rockers.
Yeah, the Rockers. Shawn Michaels and Jake the Snake.
And you had the...
Why didn't that match ever happen?
The Hulkamaniacs. Hulk Hogan, Jim Duggan, Big Boss Man, and Tugboat versus the Natural Disasters, the Earthquake, Haku, Dino Bravo, and the Barbarian.
So they wrestled the Heenan family.
Yep. The Alliance, DDP, Scott Hall, Nikolai Volkoff, Tito Santana, and the Bushwhackers versus the Mercenaries, Sergeant Slaughter, Boris Zukov, and the Orient Express, Sato and Tanaka.
How did Sergeant Slaughter become a heel?
I don't know.
I really need to study that and figure out how the hell that happened.
And then, of course, the main event was Hulk Hogan, the Ultimate Warrior, and Tito Santana versus Ted DiBiase, Rick Martel, the Warlord, and Power and Glory. Mm. So you want them to watch that pay-per-view?
Yeah. That's a great classic Survivor Series, man. That's great early 90s stuff right there, man.
I'm going to go and say... Watch either 2002, because I put that one over pretty fucking huge, or you can watch, which one was it? Let me see. I really enjoyed 2008's also, because that match featured, so it featured some pretty terrible matches, but overall I really liked the review. Had Team HBK versus Team JBL. Team HBK was Shawn Michaels, Rey Mysterio, Crime Time, and the Great Khali versus JBL, Kane, MVP, John Morrison, and The Miz. And you had Team Raw, which was Beth Phoenix, Mickie James, Kelly, Candice Michelle, and Jillian Hall versus Team SmackDown, Michelle McCool, Victoria, Maria, Maurice, and Natalya. That's Casket Match with The Undertaker and The Big Show. Team Orton, which is Randy Orton, Shelton Benjamin, William Regal, Cody Rhodes, and Mark Henry. Versus Team Batista, which is Batista, CM Punk, Kofi Kingston, Matt Hardy, and R-Truth. You had Edge versus Triple H versus Vladimir Kozlov, and the returning John Cena versus Chris Jericho for the World Heavyweight Championship. But then I believe it was Survivor Series 2007. I'm pretty sure it was 2007. It featured, let's see, a great triple threat match. Yes, the opening match. A great triple threat match. For the ECW Championship, CM Punk versus John Morrison versus The Miz. Which was a really good, really awesome triple threat match. And you had a singles match on the Great Khali versus Hornswoggle.
I bet somebody thought that was so clever.
The main event was a Hell in a Cell match. Undertaker versus Batista for the World Heavyweight Championship. I mean, honestly, if you just want to watch random, just watch every Survivor Series and just skip through matches that you think would be good. Watch the entire 1990 because he recommends. Watch the entire 2002 because that's what I recommend. But just watch Survivor Series. Say fuck your family. I'm gonna go in my room and watch Survivor Series. Yeah. Lock my door and watch Survivor Series. I think it was 2007 also, or 2008, where Michelle McCool. I think it was one of the 2009 maybe actually. Michelle McCool wrestled in Survivor Series elimination match, and her titty popped out.
Oh,
so I mean, if you're into watching girls' titties pop out, just watch that one.
I'm sure you won't be able to see that on the network.
Probably not, but I mean that's the Undertaker's wife. So if you want to masturbate to the Undertaker's wife's titty, just watch for that. Just watch it come out.
Something I was going to ask you that had nothing to do about wrestling.
What?
Last night, you talked about it earlier, or not on the podcast, but in real life earlier, you talked about how the Bills and the Jets played or whatever, and you was hoping it was in Buffalo. If that randomly happened here somehow, and it was like let's say it wasn't an NFL game, since there's not an NFL team here, but let's say randomly it was like two college teams that played at the Liberty Bowl that was like for free, would you want to go to that?
Definitely.
Would you want to go, say you were just randomly like in Nashville for some reason, and then like Atlanta's dome like collapsed, and it was like the Atlanta Falcons versus the, what's a random team, like the Atlanta Falcons versus the Detroit Lions, and that was free? Would you want to go to that?
Definitely.
I think I would too.
I just want to go just because it's a free fucking football game.
Yeah.
But yeah, ladies and gentlemen, that's all we have for you today. So for Denver Lucha Libre, I am Tatsu Liano.
I'm Jesse Matthews.
And everybody, go get fat on food and watch some wrestling.
Yes.